Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Way UK podcast. My name is Zenya. I'm with Mateus. I'm with Izzy. And we are starting a brand new podcast.
Yay!
How many times have you heard us say that?
More than once.
Yeah, because you guys have been saying, where's the Bible study? The Bible study is here, guys. If you guys don't know, we have done different books in the Bible that we have looked at. We have looked at Philippians, okay? We've looked at Colossians, trigger word. We've looked at First Peter. We've looked at so many, Jonah, all of these. But today, but today we are bringing you guys Galatians.
Wow.
The book of Galatians. How are you guys feeling about Galatians? Mateus, I know you're a Galatians expert. You were telling
us. Absolutely not.
No?
I love Galatians though. It's great. It's like bread and butter gospel. That's why I love it.
Oh, hello.
Mate.
Love that. Izzy, how are you feeling? Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, I was going to do a pun instead. I was going to be like, I'm elated. Like, elated? Okay, cool. I'm feeling great. A good 9 out of 10.
How are you feeling, Zen?
And guys, let's jump into the episode. Let's get into it. I just wanted to move past that.
Yeah, fine.
But anyways, yes, we're talking about Galatians, written by the Apostle Paul, as some of us will know. Guys, tell me about Paul. What do you know about him? Or do you have any context that you think could be helpful to like frame in the book?
Paul might be one of like the most influential biblical characters, people, historical figures that would have lived like outside of Jesus, in my opinion.
Big title.
Some people aren't like huge fans of him and some people love him. I'm in the love camp. I really think he's basically, if you don't know, he wrote like pretty much the whole New Testament.
Mm.
Like
a lot of it.
Yeah, almost pretty much the whole New Testament, apart from the Gospels and some of after the Gospels, the letters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was, and even that's arguable, he has pretty much shaped the way that we see God. God's revelation through him has shaped the way that we see God.
Mm.
But the cool thing about Paul, though, is that he is the last person you would have thought God would use
mm-hmm.
to bring this sort of revelation, because he was a Jew. He was an elite Jew. He was very legalistic, followed the law to like a T, and he believed that if you didn't follow the law, that means you weren't a Jew. And the only way to be a Jew is if you follow like word for word, count for count, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that really set him apart was that he prosecuted Christians because he believed that Christians were taking the good law set out by the Jewish God Yeshua and tainting it by adding all this other stuff, basically. Mm-hmm. So he was actually killing Christians.
Yeah, it was really extreme.
Yeah. And he had a quite dramatic conversion moment with Jesus. It says, as he was on the road to Damascus, which is a place in Syria, and as he was on the road to Damascus, road to Syria, he encountered Jesus, and Jesus was so bright and he blinded Paul's eyes. And Jesus said to Paul, why are you persecuting my people? And Paul had this dramatic conversion moment right there where he gave his life to Jesus. And then later his sight was healed.
Mm.
So basically all this to say is that the author of this book and so many other books in the New Testament, he's got a crazy story. He's gone from one polar side of the belief system on the Jewish side to the complete opposite, where like one side is all about laws, all about rules, and I'm going to kill you if you don't follow the rules and the laws
mm-hmm.
that I believe are true, to it's all about grace, it's all about love. And he experienced that love and he preached that love wherever he went. He was a missionary. He went all around the Middle East and Europe and all the way up to Rome, and he did great things. But that's a little bit about the character of Paul. I think we should do a character study on Paul one time.
Ooh.
That'd be good. If you guys want to see that, let us know, because there's a lot to talk about.
A lot? What, an origin story?
Yeah, it's great. And I also think it's good context to also know who he's writing to,
mm-hmm.
who are these people, what is Galatian, what is that? Guys, it's the Church of Galatia, not Galatians. Just wanted to throw that grammar out there. But it's not really a church. It's a group of people, like a group of different, like groups of believers in like a big area, if that makes sense. So it's not like a church. It's more like multiple different.
The region of Galatia.
Yeah. And what was happening was that with the gospel message and what Jesus talks about, now you don't need to like be of a certain group to inherit, you know, all that God has for you. Actually, the gospel message is for everyone. And so the family of God now looks very different. You know, people of different backgrounds, ages, like people from different walks of life. And so now in the Church of Galatia, you've got like different groups of people. You've got people that have come from the Jewish tradition, and you've also got people that are what Paul would call the Gentiles, which are non-Jewish believers. So you've got all these different people mixing together, talking about Jesus. But in their like discussion of the gospel, the message has kind of been changed. And Paul's kind of upset about that. He's like, hold on, like this message that we know is a message of freedom. We don't need to live, like you were saying, what Paul was doing before, living to the law. We don't need to do that anymore. Like we can live in the freedom of Jesus because Jesus has come to fulfill the law, which means we don't have to like live to these impossible measures that we can never live up to. We're free in the grace of God. But then some people are like, actually, no, you have to. Like you have to live to the law. What are you talking about? You're not going to be a real follower of God if you don't live to all the laws. So then this whole message of the gospel had been changed. And Paul was like really upset about that because that's not the message of the gospel. And so he's kind of writing this letter to, I guess, set the record straight. Be like, hey guys, we've gone a bit wayward here. Let's get back to the root of what the gospel actually is. So hopefully that's helpful.
Mm-hmm. So in summary, in recap, basically, Galatia is a region with many churches. And Paul is writing to the region of Galatia, to all these churches, to churches with Gentiles, so non-Jewish people, non-Jewish Christians and Jewish Christians. And in some of these churches, the message was being tainted. And Paul is directly addressing this message, these new teachings that are popping up that you need to follow Jewish law to be a Christian. That's pretty much it. He's like writing to Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians saying you don't need to follow this teaching because the gospel has come to redeem all things. It is sufficient in itself.
Mm.
But something that's interesting is that he actually structures his writing in this book as an argument. So if you look at the structure, it's structured like an argument with points and counterpoints so that he's able to address this teaching. Mm. Let's get into it.
Let's get reading.
Do you want to read verses 1 to 10 and then go from there?
I can, guys, hold with me. My voice is kind of cooked today. Verses 1 to 10, it says, this letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God, our Father, planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. See, already out the gate, he is like, guys, this is the gospel. Lol. Let me go on. It says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but this is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us, or even an angel from heaven who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcomed, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I'm not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant.
Oh,
that
was cold.
Not you getting chills. Yeah.
Cold palm up in here.
Very direct and very like to the point.
Mm.
But what stands out to you guys initially as you read this?
You're looking at me. I think the intro bit before he gets into it, I'm going to start chronologically, has some interesting bits in that alone. I think even you mentioned as you're reading it, he gets straight to the point.
Yeah.
Like this is such a pressing issue for him that he gets straight into it, goes, this is the gospel. This is the truth. This is who Jesus is. And even this phrase of grace and peace is a very common Paul greeting, which apparently, reading into it, grace is very like a Greek kind of word and peace is very like the Jew kind of words. So having, again,
shalom
has both of those like threads in it from the beginning. And he is a real, Paul is a real guy of like grace is a key part of his testimony. I don't know how you would best describe grace, but it's basically being given what you don't deserve. Is that the right?
Yeah.
Like in a good way. And he is like the most unlikely person to be speaking to the Gentiles and speaking to the Christian. He's someone that, as you were saying, was so against it. And now God's using him to give them grace and peace. But I think it stands out to me just from the get-go. It's just like, I give you grace, I give you peace. Cool. Jesus, this is the issue at hand. And then just go straight into it, where a lot of his other letters, he would go, oh, I give thanks, and gives a lot of gratefulness and thanks and praises God for these churches. But in this letter, he's not given thanks. Mm. He goes straight into, this is Jesus. Oh, and by the way, you're screwing some stuff up here and we're going to talk about it. Mm. So I like that it's an interesting difference when you read his other letters.
Yeah, Paul, he starts off a lot of his letters. Is it a lot or is it all? I'm not sure. It's at least most of his letters with this peace and grace. And it's important to note that grace, the peace is easier to understand, although still complicated when you really dive into it. But grace is quite complicated. And the idea of grace, people have different perceptions and they conceptualize it a little bit differently. There are different opinions on it. And it's good to note. I think it's interesting when you look at the start of this letter through the perspective of an argument, you start realizing that in his first like four verses, he's kind of just like, he's setting the scene. He's putting himself at a place of authority almost. Mm-hmm. He's saying, Paul, right. an apostle means sent, that the one who's sent, right? Sent, but normally he says, Paul, an apostle of God, sent not from men nor by men, but by Jesus Christ. I was sent by Jesus Christ. Like, I'm an apostle sent by Jesus Christ. That's like bigging himself up. And God, the Father, who raises him from the dead, not only by Jesus, but by God, and all the brothers with me, all the mandem behind me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, he's placing himself as a man with authority with what he's about to say.
Yeah.
Because he's about to address a teaching that is prominent in the church. Mm-hmm. And before he even touches on the teaching, he's saying, look, this is who I am. This is who I represent. And this is the message that I'm going to bring. So listen up. I come with grace. I come with peace, but I come with authority. So listen up. And then he goes into like spitting some fire later about the teaching. Mm-hmm. But I feel you get a lot out of this when you start looking at like an argument. You're like really setting the scene about himself. What do you think, Zen?
And also like these people kind of knew who Paul was because he had been in the region of Galatia. He'd been to Antioch. Like him and Barnabas went into like the church in its like early stages to help disciple people. So he had a almost like a tie to this community. And so of course he would write in such a way because he cares about them, like not just because they're Christians, but also because he knew them and he had experienced their community. And so he has like this real desire for them to get it because he knows them and he cares about them. And also I think him just reminding people that he is an apostle and he's sent by God, it just reminds us that we can trust him and we can trust what he's going to say. But then like what you said, Izzy, was so funny that he didn't say thanks, because I don't think there's anything that he's thankful for in this situation. Otherwise he wouldn't have been writing this letter in the first place. But then he goes straight into it in verse 6 and says, I'm shocked.
Yeah.
I'm shook.
Must is astonished.
That is...
taken aback.
Some harsh language right there. Like knowing who these people, it's almost like a parent speaking to a child, like, I'm just so shocked that you've done this right now.
I'm not angry.
he's like, I'm not angry, but you turned your way. So you've turned away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. And I think it's interesting that he is predominantly like saying that they've turned away from the gospel, right? Mm-hmm. But he says that you've turned away from God, which makes me see, okay, cool. Like the gospel is Jesus. It is God. And if we follow a different teaching to the teaching of Jesus, then we're essentially turning from him, because the gospel is Jesus, who's a person, like the person of God. Turning away from a person sounds so deep. Like, it sounds like real betrayal. Like, I wouldn't want to turn away from a person. But essentially, in not understanding the full gospel or choosing to believe a gospel that is different, we are turning away from Jesus, because that's not who he is, which is quite sad. It's very, very sad. But then also it's like, oh, thank goodness. And like, thank God that Paul was being so honest, you know? So yeah, that was like what I was thinking.
Yeah, he structures it as if he's saying, you've turned away from the gospel from verses 6 to 9. And then he kind of says like what it is in verses 10 that they're turning away from. He says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or God? Or am I trying to please men? If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So he starts saying, you've turned away from God. You've turned away from the gospel. You've turned away from the message of Christ. Now, what is that message? It's the service of man. Mm-hmm. I'm not serving God anymore. I'm actually serving man. And again, it's just like, he's coming with truth. And I wonder, even if in my own life, when I've encountered things that don't sit well or things that aren't true, it might be like someone believing something about themselves, or it might be a message that I heard from somewhere, you know? And actually, am I standing like Paul here in like truth? Am I saying what it is? Am I operating with a fear of God for truth? Am I being the advocate for truth? So basically what I'm trying to say is like, Paul here is being unapologetic in the way that he's communicating. He's encountered something that's not set well with him, and he has called it out in the people. I love that about this.
Yeah, and like, I feel like he's just really standing on business and standing on what he believes. And I think there's no way for you to compromise your faith when you just stand on it, you know? And you just, I even think back to like being in school, right? And just wanting to fit in. And I would kind of like do whatever I needed to do in any friendship group in order to be approved. But then if you're doing that, you're also going against some of your values and what you truly, truly believe to be right in efforts to be liked by people. And I guess for Paul, it's like, no, I'm not trying to change what I believe in just so that you would like me or so that you will accept me or whatever the case is. But I believe in Jesus and what Jesus has done for me. And I'm going to stand on that, whether that makes you feel good or not. Because the truth of the gospel is the truth of the gospel. And actually the gospel, I've heard people say that the gospel was an offensive message because it goes against like, and it cuts deep into like us as human beings, you know? Like even in Hebrews 4, it says like the word of God is a double-edged sword, like sharp enough to cut between bone and marrow. And like it really gets to the heart of us, right? Which doesn't feel good to be cut. Does not feel nice. But we need to hear it. And so like be encouraged that people in your life need to hear the gospel. So don't like compromise in order to like win the approval of people or to fit in with people, but actually just say what Jesus is saying, because people need to hear it.
Absolutely. And I think I was going to say how, imagine like receiving this letter, like how that would be. Actually, we have received this letter. Like it is in the Bible. So actually we are also being challenged. And I think that is it, verse 10 that says about, like, are we serving people or God? And it's, or are we serving ourselves or are we serving God? Like, because a lot of the time it can be like our pride or our own knowledge or our own wisdom that we think is right actually is different to how God says. And I think that's in so many things where we can so quickly, because the Jesus way goes against our humanness and fleshness, we can so quickly like turn to our own ways of doing stuff and in a way like pervert the gospel or change the gospel as it's saying, to make it try and fit to what we think is right and make the God fit in the box we have for him. But in reality, this is saying is like, no, it's God's way of doing stuff. It's Jesus that brings the good news. That's the only good news. Our news is not the good news. So I think it's also a real, let's just not read this as a historical letter to a church, but actually relevant to us right now, personally as well.
I love that. I've until now, I was reading this in the perspective of Paul being like the righteous truth bearer in my friendship group or whatever. But then also, I like that because you've changed that. You've changed my perspective now. I'm not Paul anymore. I'm the church. And actually, it's probably a better position to place myself in.
Mm.
In like this church, they knew the gospel. They've been carrying out, they've been living, worshiping Jesus already. Paul has come. They know Jesus. They've given life to Jesus. But somewhere along the line, in order to make the gospel message more palatable, maybe more digestible, they've slightly tweaked it, being like, okay, yeah. And we'll get into like, later it's going to talk about circumcision and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But like, they've started to tweak it to try like adding things to the gospel to try and make it easier for them to understand. And I'm like thinking in my own life, is the gospel in itself a powerful enough reality that I'm able to live in it without having to add anything into it? Or do I find myself adding things to the gospel so that it's easier for me to live out? So is God's grace enough for me to believe in my salvation? Or am I also adding on my works to it? You know, it's fine. I just go to church today and I'll be fine. Okay, I'm not in relationship with you, God, right now, but I'm going to church. So I'm adding this one thing. Like if I go to church, that means I'm okay. You know, I'm adding this one thing so that the gospel is more palatable. And so this is a challenge even to us being, okay, are there things that we're adding on to the message of Jesus so that we are able to accept the gospel easier, believe it more? Or is the gospel, the pure, raw gospel message enough? And I say we're saying this gospel message a lot, but that gospel message is simply, you have been made for a purpose. Sin has come and it's separated us from God's purpose. And Jesus, the Redeemer, has come to redeem redeem that relationship.
Mm.
So he died on the cross. And by his death, we have been made clean. He died the death that he did not deserve, so that we are able to be made clean because he paid our debts. That's the gospel message. Jesus has paid our debt. And the only thing we need to do to accept that is to acknowledge this is getting very deep, and I know people have different opinions on this, but if we were to simplify it, and it goes a lot deeper than this, but if we were to simplify it, in order for us to accept it, we just need to accept Jesus into our heart.
Mm.
And he's going to be the one that brings transformation into our lives. That's the gospel message. It's not anything else. It's not the approval of man. It's not the how good we are of a Christian, quote in, quote out, right? It's Jesus's blood and blood alone.
Mm-hmm. I also think, not to like jump through, because I know we're going down, but then we're going back up again, but it talks here and it says, you're following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but it's not good news at all, and that you're being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. And I feel like when we hear, like even in other books in the Bible, like 2 Peter talks about false teaching. And when we hear stuff like that, we might think, oh, but, you know, maybe somewhere along the line, like, it just got messed up. Like it wasn't intentional, but him saying like you deliberately twisting the truth, like that's what false teaching is. It's a deliberate twist of the gospel message. And I think for Paul, maybe why he was getting really, really aggy about this is because the message wasn't being changed by people within the church community, but it was actually like external voices that were speaking into a message and a culture that was already established. And I think like that same thing still happens today. You know, so many of us can hear the gospel, like read the Bible and be like, oh yeah, like this is great. And then you might ask people, oh, what does this mean? What does that mean? Or people might try and speak into that and say things that are actually different to the knowledge that God has given you and the revelation that you have in Jesus. And so like, I know there's this Bible scripture that says like to test every spirit, but I think that's so true. Like test everything that you hear, like not everything that people say about Jesus is the gospel, you know? And how will we know that? By our personal devotion to God, by our personal relationship, by us reading the Bible and us developing our relationship with God every day. So I would just encourage whoever's listening, like maybe you feel like, oh, I don't know, like, is this in the Bible? Is this true? Is this what God is saying? Like bring it to God, like test it, but also don't believe everything that you hear on face value. Like always bring it to God, because you just don't know what people's intentions are. And also it might not be the gospel.
No.
So keep your ears up.
Mm. And then also like, what's my point? Sorry, I had a point.
Great point there.
Thank you. A pin in that point.
I'd put a pin in it.
has the pin fallen off the wall?
Pinfall.
It might have fallen.
Anyway, we can carry on.
That's okay. I had like one other thing to say based on what you were reading in verse 10, Matthias, when Paul says, if I was still trying to please people, which meant that he was trying to please people at a certain point.
Mm-hmm.
So he was saying, oh, if I was still trying to. So how was he trying to please people before with the whole like killing Christians thing and like being like a top Pharisee? You know, people say OG, he was like an OP, but like deeper because he thought he was OP. Wow.
That's crazy.
Anyways, he was like a top Pharisee.
That was worse than my pun.
No, it was actually amazing. He was an original Pharisee. He was like, I'm that guy. Like I've like, even in Philippians, he talks about it like, oh, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Like I come from the tribe of Benjamin. Like I was the Hebrew of Hebrews. Like I was that guy. Really doing a lot of puffing up to people and like pleasing people and like, oh, look at how much I've done. That shows where my faith is at with God. And like all this like people pleasing thing. But actually when you live for God, it's less about, oh, what can I do to show other people that I'm a good Christian? Just about, oh, how can I follow Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
And actually it's so simple, like just following God. And there's none of that other stuff. Like you were talking about things that we love to add into the mix to complicate it, but just the simple pursuing Jesus, like the greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor, like just doing that. And the everything will flow from that.
Yeah.
So it's less about how many things can I tick off to be a good Christian or to be zealous, this word that Paul likes to use, but actually like, how can I just love God in its simplest way? And I think that just helps us live it out much easier or like simpler. Should we move on?
Yes.
Yes. let's move on to the next part of the message. My Bible titles this, Paul's message comes from Christ. So again, doubling down. Listen, he's not sent by man. He's sent by God. Cool. So we'll do verses 11 to 17, then 18 to the rest, and then we'll go home and it'll be great. Matthias, could you read verses 11 to 17 for us?
Yes, I'm reading from the NIV. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. For you have heard my previous ways of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was. But I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus.
Nice.
Again.
Saucy.
Mate, He's Cole Palmer, man. Anyways, no.
So good.
Anyways, if we look at it like an argument again, like a structured argument, he starts off again, just setting up his authority and then setting the truth. I come and this is why you should listen to me. And this is what you should listen to.
Mm.
He basically just like poured out his testimony right there.
Mm.
He poured out his story to us. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from man. And then he says like, why? And then shows it through his story. He's a cool guy. He fascinates me.
Mm. But I actually think it's so cool that he's like, no one taught me.
Yeah.
Because no one did. Because he was listening to, when he was like following the Jewish way, he was listening to everybody, all the Christians talking about God, and he rejected it. Like as a Pharisee, he was like, no, I'm going to kill these guys. So even though people tried to speak to him about the gospel, he rejected it. So the only way that it would have made sense for him to hear it is if Jesus himself told him, like, and that's exactly what happened. You read about it in Acts 9, like, as you were saying before, he's on the road to Damascus, gets blinded by this bright light, and Jesus literally comes and speaks to him directly and says, why are you persecuting me?
Mm.
I'm Jesus, and this is what I need you to do. And then he goes blind, and it's like, so this like whole story. But it just speaks to the fact that it really is God. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the reason why I love Paul's story is because once you have an encounter with Jesus, like, you're just changed forever. Like, you can't be the same. And I think from him going from one extreme to the other, from like killing Christians to then loving Jesus with his whole heart, you looking on the outside would be like, there's no way. Like, how is this possible? But it's only through God, which is so cool. Mm.
And I love that it's, again, it's he's fully giving God all the credit.
Right.
Like, it's very humble in that way, where it's all God. That's what he points to. It's no one has taught him. And I think it's cool that his story, his gospel, is not man trying to reach up to understand God. Excuse me, choking over myself. It's not man trying to like reach up to understand God, but it's actually God coming down and revealing himself to man. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a lot less misunderstandings because it's God telling him. And I think, like, I think his story is just so interesting of, he literally is the most unlikely person for God to use, which almost shows it's nothing about Paul. It's not about what he did.
Mm.
Because if it was about what he did, then God wouldn't have used him. But instead, it's purely about God working through him. It's, again, it's God has all the credit. God has all the glory. And Paul's just like, this is the truth I've been given. And now I'm going to tell you about it. Mm. And I think that's, he's always pointing back to God. And like him naming all these people that he didn't spend time with, he's not like shaming them. He's basically saying, this is straight from God. And I'm sharing this as a direct messenger, which, again, it's saying why he has authority, why this message has authority, which, you know, sets the argument up a lot stronger than if this person told this person, you told this person, you then told me that God may be doing, like, it's no, this is why this is important.
And I wonder whether there's an invitation as well in this passage. And hear me out when I say this. Going to church is an essential part of our faith walk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being with other Christians and learning from people is an essential part of our faith walk and learning from mentors. So if you don't have those things, it's an essential part of our faith walk, and you're missing out on a great deal that God has for you. If you don't have a church community or someone mentoring you, our encouragement as the way would be, get in church, get into it, get someone that could disciple you.
Yeah.
Because I think God has a lot of blessings available for you in those places. But having said that, I think in this passage, there is an invitation just to go directly to God as well. Because like he points out his testimony where God encountered him directly with revelation. And that is also a big part of our faith walk, of our journey with God, is that when we spend time with him, we silence our minds, we have the Holy Spirit with us that speaks to us in revelation. So revelation means like revealing stuff to us, right? He reveals things to us. And a lot of this time it's things that have already been revealed through the gospel. I mean, through the Bible, but God reveals things to us directly. And so we do receive things from our communities and it's their incredible blessings, and from people, and people are incredible blessings, but also we receive directly from God, directly from the source. And so if you haven't actually silenced your mind, placed yourself in a quiet room and asked God, what do you have to say to me today? What would you like to remind me today? We would encourage you to do so, because God has a lot for you there.
Yeah. And also, it might be a minor tangent, but I think that's so much more of a thing now, especially with like the internet and how like you can listen to a range of different people from a range of different places with a range of different backgrounds talking about God and talking about Jesus. And I think even for us, like, I love the internet, don't get me wrong, love this place, love it here. But sometimes I can even go into moments or seasons where I'm relying more on like, oh, let me just go on YouTube and listen to this podcaster or listen to this person. And there's nothing wrong with listening to people talking about the Bible. And I think I said this on like a pod clip or like something a couple of weeks ago, but like, we shouldn't be people that rely on secondhand revelation. Like, we should be people that crave to encounter God for ourselves, like crave to be in his presence, like crave to be in the Bible, like having that direct download from God. Like, it's nothing wrong with listening to podcasters, literally like you're doing right now. There's nothing wrong with listening to podcasters or listening to online preachers and stuff like that. But that should be like a compliment thing. Like, it complements your like direct first person pursuit of God. It shouldn't be the thing that we rely on, but it's actually the thing that complements. So I would just challenge like anyone listening, like, are you pursuing God yourself? Like, are you reading the Bible yourself? Are you praying, having that one-on-one communication and rhythm with God? Or are you relying on other people and other voices to do for you what God wants to do with just you and him mainly? I don't know if I worded that properly, but yeah, felt like that was a bit of a challenge. And also the only other thing I wanted to say was based on what Izzy was saying, which I loved what you were saying about, it's not about what Paul did. Like, it's not about like his background or like God needed him to have come from a certain place to use him. It's the fact that God loved him and God wanted to just use him like to speak to people. And one of my favorite verses in scripture is verses 15 and 16 of this chapter. And it says, but even before I was born, God chose me. Yeah. And I just loved that so much. Like, it wasn't to do with anything that Paul did in his life. God chose him. God saw him, loved him and chose him. And then it said, and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me. God wants to reveal himself to us. Like, he just wants to. Not because we deserve it. Not because anything that we do. Because he just wants to share himself. That is literally the gospel message, that God gave himself for us, that we would be free. And I think sometimes we can get into mindsets where we feel like we have to do a lot, or we don't deserve like to read the Bible. So we have to do X, Y, Z, or I don't deserve to be loved by God. So let me clean myself up. But none of that is true. Like, there's nothing that we deserve. It's all based on who God is, that he saw us, that he chose us, that he's called us and he loves us. And because of that, he just wants to be, he wants to know us and he wants to be in relationship with us. And so like, that should be like a weight taken off us that we think we have to do lots. Like, we don't need to do, we just need to be in God's presence and receive his love. That's it.
That's don't it. Do just be.
So good.
What is this?
Yeah. What is this? Guys, should we read the last few verses and chat about it?
Okay.
Great. Do you guys want me to read or do you want? Okay. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him, as I flick my page, for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at the time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that I am writing to you, that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north to the provinces of Syria and Cilicia. I'm slayed that. And still, the Christians in the churches in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us is now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And they praised God because of me. The end of chapter one.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom, boom. A little bit of a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Because I'm like, bro, I don't know what you're going to say next. Like, man, are you going into more story? Are you going to tell us about ourselves? What are you going to do next? You guys are just going to have to tune in to find out. I think also it's funny that he's like, oh yeah, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. Like, just flexing name Peter, dropping. You know?
Name James, Peter. The Lord's brother.
Yeah, like, all just, right, you know, naming them all, because why not? Do you know what I mean? But I also think it's cool to see that these guys actually interacted and they had a relationship. Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when you read the Bible and you read about, oh, this person and that person, you're like, okay, cool, but who are these people? Do they even know each other? But actually they did. Like, these guys journeyed with each other. These guys taught to different groups of believers and non-believers together. And there's a lot of like unity amongst the early church and like the apostles or disciples or whatever name you want to call them, which I think is actually really encouraging for us. Like, these guys took community very seriously. And we read about that in like Acts 2 and stuff. But they valued each other in going out and like teaching and doing the stuff. And so we should too, which I think is really cool.
Absolutely. I like something that is said, that Paul said he was personally unknown to the churches. So they'd heard about his stories, but he was unknown to them, which I think is really cool, that he wasn't this like, my tummy's rumbling, I don't know if you can hear it. Yeah, he was unknown to them, which means he may not have been like on the main stage, the one giving all the testimony every week or the praise report, but actually he was very happy just serving God quietly until it was the right time for like God to raise him up, and God very much did use him. But in this time, it sounds a lot more like it was in the unknown. And I think often in our day and age, we hear a big conversion story and we quickly put them on stage and go, isn't this incredible? Yesterday they were doing this and today they're doing this. But actually in Paul's example is that there was a lot of unknown, a lot of the quiet time, the personal relationship with God before he was, you know, being used in this big, large way, which I think we can definitely learn from and take wisdom from.
Yeah. It was something he sacrificed. He was what he was someone that was very known to someone that was not known, and then to someone that was very known again. So he gave it up to God. He gave it to God. So I'm actually going to let go of my stature, my reputation. It says, and I'm going to follow you. And then by following him, God gave him influence and a voice, and he spoke to people, and he was known as the man that persecuted is now preaching the faith that he once destroyed. You know, it's like God gave him the things that he needed at the time that he needed it, but ultimately he gave it up to God. But ultimately the message in this book was all about grace, though. It's not really about his surrender of his stature. It was about grace. It was about him understanding that he himself was not nothing. He wasn't anything. He could not do anything for himself. But when he gave himself to God, God delighted himself in revealing himself to him. And that's the same invitation that we have with God right now. We can give ourselves all that we have to God, and God delights in revealing himself to us, it says.
And I just, like, the only other thing that I have that I was thinking is that, like, for Paul, he probably wasn't proud of the stuff that he was doing before. Like, he's not saying this because it brings him joy. He's saying this because he's like, wow, look at what I used to do, but look at where God has brought me.
Yeah.
Look at what God is doing. And I think for so many of us, we might like not be proud of our story. Like, we might think, oh, I don't really want to tell people this is what I was doing before I met God. Like, I don't want people to know. But like our testimony, which is basically just like our story of what Jesus has done for us, it's not something to bring us shame. It's to bring God glory. Like, there is so much power in telling your story and telling your testimony, because it also like shows other people, wow, if God can do it for you, God can also do it for me. And I think to hear, for these people to hear, wow, there was a guy that was once like doing all this stuff, but now he's preaching the same faith that he tried to destroy. Like, wow, glory to God. And it says they praised God because of him. Like, it empowered their faith. It encouraged their faith to know that, wow, God is still moving. God is still doing stuff. And so like my encouragement is like, share your story, like share your testimony with like people in your school or even other people that you know that are Christians as well. Like, we're here to encourage each other. But we're also here to be the light, like to... Wasn't it? It says that we're the light of the world, like city on a hill. Like we are to share the light of Jesus with people in our context, people that we know, so that they too will come to the same revelation of like, wow, Jesus is God and he's awesome. And he loves you and he wants a relationship with you. There's so much power in telling people your story and what God has done for you. So like, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed, but like be empowered. Because if Paul can do it, we can do it too.
Well, exactly. If God can use Paul.
Right.
Then I think all of our stories, God can turn around. If we like turn to him and go, we're going to change our ways, we're going to come to you and want, like, please use me like Paul did, then he's going to use us. What an encouragement.
What an encouragement.
And then also in this whole passage, he's laying out his story and then where he's gone and who he's met. And again, if we go back to that perspective of the argument, why is he doing this? Why is he writing this letter? It's so that he's able to preach against this false teaching. And in this section, he's setting himself up as a person of authority. You know, I wasn't anything, he says, but then God came and did something in my life. And this is where he's taken me. And this is who I've done it with. And so this is why you should listen to me. This is why I carry authority. And he did carry authority in this. And this is why you should listen to me. Because ultimately in this chapter, he doesn't really get into a lot of the meat, which we're going to talk about. Actually, He briefly mentions it in like one or two verses, in verses 10, right? But about like not serving man, but serving God. But later on in this book, he's actually going to get into like, okay, what does that mean? What does that look like? What were they actually doing? Why is this like a plague? Why is this like a curse, right? So he's setting himself up as a person of authority. at the beginning of this letter, so that towards the ends, the middle and the end of this letter, people would listen to him and listen and grab on to what he's saying. Ultimately, it's not a soft book. It wasn't meant to be read and spoken out like a soft message. It was a hard message of rebuking this church for their teachings. And I guess the way that we can apply it in our own lives, as you said, you know, like, what are we listening to? Are we listening to things that are bringing us closer to the truth of gospel, of God, of Jesus? Are those teachings in line with what the Bible says? And then second, are we believing in the gospel as a pure message, or are we inclined to add something to it so that it's more easily digestible for us?
Yeah, and I think there's nothing wrong with having those questions, right? Like, arguably, if you're not having questions, are you thinking? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that you're engaging with your faith, you're thinking about things deeply. And I would just encourage you guys listening, like, bring that to your pastors or your, like, friends in church or, like, your leaders. Bring those questions to them, like, have those discussions and, like, figure out your faith. Like, this is a whole life journey. This is a walk. And so you're going to have questions at different points, but it's good to be around people that can, like, sharpen you, lift you up, and also just speak into those areas where, like, you're unsure about stuff. And that's what we're trying to do here. We're like a couple of friends that just want to figure out, like, what the Bible's saying. What does Paul mean when he says this? And I guess we're going to do more of that next week when we look at Galatians chapter 2. So guys, thank you so much for joining in with us, journeying with us as we looked at Galatians 1. We would love to hear your thoughts on what stood out to you. So leave us a comment if you're listening by YouTube or wherever you get your podcast these days, who even knows. But give us a comment and let us know, like, what's been stirring in you, like, what has God been speaking to you as you've been listening to this, and lock in with us for the next few weeks because it's going to get really, really good. You thought this was great. Hey, it's getting even better. So thank you guys for watching, and we will see you in the next episode. Amazing. That's a great conclusion. I love that.
Bye.
Yeah, see ya.